you're actually here with us in Vienna in a class. So I'm going to just quickly, so you can all say hello to the people on the webinar.
Hi.
And I'm Dr. Leslie Brown. I have been a psychotherapist for over 20 years, also a university professor and guest professor here at Sigmund Freud University. I also run a company called Mind Body Passport, where we do international courses all over the world. Next course coming up is Thailand, and then we'll have another Vienna course in August for International Summer School. So feel free to drop in on our website at www.mindbodypassport.com. We have a few SFU students with us today. Maybe we just quickly say our names so everybody knows everyone.
I'm Sarah.
Joseph. Hi. Fabricio.
Okay. Hannah. Kirsty.
Linda.
Gabrielle.
Kelly.
Jeanette.
Melissa.
Louisa.
Yasha.
Thank you. And now we begin with Dr. Yeah. Linda.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon here in Vienna to those who are with me. Hello over the world. This afternoon and evening is devoted to the theme of meaning, loss of meaning, and dealing with loss of meaning, and understanding what meaning is and what it means when we lose meaning, when we are lost, when we are in despair, maybe without meaning. Meaning is really a central theme in our existence. We have, in existential analysis, those who have been in that class for this week know it already, but those who haven't been, in existential analysis, we see four dimensions of existence, pillars which uphold existence, or preconditions which must be fulfilled to come to a full existence. And one of these pillars is meaning. Meaning in the sense of having a greater context, having a view for the future, binding oneself into reality and acting in that reality so that we become fruitful. And you see, this is an absolute need of existence, that every human being has the possibility to see that something good is happening by himself, herself, that we are creative, that we can do something good, that we can experience that I am good for something. If we have never that experience that I am good for something else, for some other persons, if I'm not good for anything, then I have a veritable crisis of meaning. Every human life wants to become or needs to become fruitful. The most natural form of becoming fruitful is having children. Life cannot continue if we do not bring up fruits. If we are not good for something which is more than myself, which is other than myself, which is good for others, be it for a future generation, be it for life, be it for other people in the horizontal level, actually. We are dialogical beings. We need each other, and therefore we also want to become good for other people. We have a desire to invest ourselves. As long as we are healthy, we have that desire. Look at the children. They play, and they are devoted to their play. They forget themselves. They sometimes forget to come home at time for the lunch, because they are so committed to their play to this, the group in which they are, to the other bodies and guys and so. It's so natural that we have a tendency to transcend ourselves, as Viktor Frankl puts it. Frankl speaks, and this is a basic issue in logotherapy, speaks about self-transcendence, which means that thanks to our spiritual dimension, to the fact that we are not only bones and skin and muscles and psychodynamical, having a psychodynamical apparatus, but that we also have a spirit which allows us to make decisions, to be responsible, to search for meaning. Thanks to this dimension, we have an inherent need and capacity to transcend ourselves. Self-transcendence means, in the definition Viktor Frankl gave to that term, that we become only then real human beings when we transcend ourselves, in the sense of that we dedicate ourselves, devote ourselves, commit ourselves to something which is not again ourselves, to something else, to something other. We need the otherness, not only to become ourselves, to develop, to become a notion of me, of being a person, of being an individual. We need that encounter, and we need the others. But we need them also for the realization of our life, for the realization of our being there, for the realization of existence. We must transcend ourselves and give it to somebody else in love, in encounter, in work, in help, in just having fun and being together. And then we can develop our existence. So this is very basic for the human being. This is why we speak about a fourth dimension, of this dimension of existence, that we need to become fruitful, that we need to become to grow in something else, to give ourselves. And the more we can give ourselves to a child, to a friend, to a partner, to parents, to patients, to the nature, to an animal, to a horse, to a bird, to an idea, to a religion, to something which is not me, which is surrounding me, which is greater than I am. The more we can give ourselves, the more we are free to give ourselves, the more we get back, the more we receive, the more we are enriched, the more fulfilling is our life. It's not enough to have food to eat, to have joyful experiences, pleasure, to have sex, to have narcissistic feelings, which gives me a good feeling for my ego. This is all okay. It's not enough. It's good to have a good feeling for the ego, knowing oneself. We are completing our existence. We are becoming fully present only when we come into action. Action in which we transcend ourselves, give ourselves, hand over ourselves, make a present of ourselves, or invest, or struggle for what is important, or make a revolution for what we fight for. All different forms, with the same basic structure, the same dimensional structure of being good for something, being good for somebody, being good for something else, being good for more. My life becomes more when I'm not only myself, but when I'm becoming a we, a community, when I'm living in a relationship, when I'm seeing what is needed, when I'm taking up the question of the situation and give my answer. I think this is comprehensible for everyone. For those who have been in the seminar, it's very evident, very clear. I think we spoke about many basic structures of existence. And this is now like the roof. Frankly, compare the meaning as being the roof on the house of existence. The top of it. Without a roof, a house is not a house. But only with the roof alone, there's no house. It's not sufficient. It needs basic structures. The other three dimensions, we spoke about this during this week, the one dimension of being in the world and in a reality and being able to deal with the reality. The second dimension, to be alive and to connect with life and bring life into our existence. The third dimension, being oneself. Being an authentic being, connecting with this authenticity, with this basic knowledge feeling of who I am, which I cannot know without encountering other people. World, life, oneself as a person are the three dimensions which precede, which form the basement and the walls of the house, and now the fourth dimension, the roof on the house, the meaning. The living meaning in the sense of living for a greater context. Living for a family. The family is a greater context. It's more than me. Living for patience in the work. Living for music, for giving concerts, painting, living for something else in which my life becomes visibly fruitful. Like the grain which falls onto the earth and starts growing, thanks to the soil, to the water, to the light, it starts growing and becomes crops. That's the fruit. What are my crops so far? Have I been fruitful so far in my life? Certainly you have. Certainly, everyone. Maybe you didn't notice it so much or think about it. But when we start thinking about meaning and the loss of meaning, we can take a minute just to consider, where have I been fruitful? Where have I been of help? Where did I contribute with an idea, with thoughts, or practically? Was there anybody who once said me, thank you, because he or she obviously received something from me? Then we are in this fourth dimension of existence. Then we are in that grammar of life which needs that I am investing myself, that I am spending myself, giving myself. That I become active in a soil of a family, of friends, of work, of art, or whatever it may be. So let's take this as an introduction, a theoretical introduction, with the focus on we have it, or the existence has a dimension which requires from us that we transcend ourselves, that we step over the borders of ourselves, that we are more than just egoistic. If we are only egoistic, existence will never be fulfilling. Not really fulfilling. We can have some advantages, of course, but it's not really fulfilling, satisfying, giving enough deep emotionality, rewarding. It's not. Only when we are in open dialogue with others and are capable to step over our own borders and dedicate. So, as an introduction, we must leave ourselves behind. We must be able, and the three first fundamental motivations help to enable us to be capable to let me behind. In this reality, in the connection with life, in being myself, this makes me ready to step over my borders. In about that sense, let me put this on the show. Self-transcendence. I can transcend myself towards otherness, other people, other things. And this brings to a realization my world, my life, my existence. Existing ultimately leads to a fulfillment by connecting me with otherness. It's something similar like in a loving act. The ecstasis and the existence have some similarities. So, when we love our life and live it fully and let happen our inborn tendencies, our natural structures, we are like in a loving act with life every day. Whenever we commit ourselves to something, like in this seminar, you are listening. You are transcending yourself. You are not in yourself. You are with me. You are in between. We are all together. Everyone here is transcending herself, himself. And finds herself in a greater context. And this is something, for me, it's miraculous, it's wonderful, it's fulfilling life. It's an everyday procedure, of course. We can be very sober and say, what's special there? That happens every day. Yeah, of course, we can be numb for the depth, for the deep resonance in our life. But when we are mindful, when we are phenomenological, when we have an eye which looks through the super, through the superficial, into the essence, into the depth, then we see, whenever we do this, we are fulfilling our existence in these minutes, listening or me talking, and in a minute you talking. We are fulfilling existence according to that structure which is basic for existence. meaning dimension of existence, dimension of dedication to otherness, dimension of transcending myself, dimension of experiencing that my life is good for something which either I experience, like experiencing an interest, a joy when reading a book, seeing a movie, listening to a seminar which is interesting, then it produces some joy and pleasure, and I experience it's good being there. My life is good for something, for that experience. Or because I help somebody, because I'm professionally good, because I make a good meal, I'm a good cook. And whenever I practice cooking, I experience in the depths that it's good, that my life is good for something. People enjoy it. And me too. And that's life. Then life becomes real life. So we need that dimension. This dimension, the roof of existence, helps us to come to a completion of our being there. But we need the structure, the fundaments and the walls of the house of existence that carries our roof. We must be able to transcend ourselves, to dedicate ourselves, devote ourselves. And this needs special training, special conditions which must be fulfilled that we can come and complete the meaning of our life, the meaning of our existence, the meaning of our situation. Now we are going to talk about this practical procedure. We talked about the three preceding fundamental motivations or dimensions. I just named them, the relation to the world, to life, and to oneself. This is not the theme now. We move only in the fourth dimension, in the dimension of meaning. We can make another webinar and talk about the other dimensions of existence, but today we are focusing the dimension of meaning. We want to understand what is meaning and how can we find meaning when meaning is lost, and what does it mean, meaning. And why is meaning so important? In the introduction I gave some hints why meaning is so important. But we will have a closer look to that. So if you have questions or comments, also people in the webinar, please don't hesitate to ask them. And Leslie is so kind and is organizing the technique, and if there are too many questions, you will conduct us through this. Thank you. I hope everybody can connect now with the theme. And for making it able to connect even better to the theme, I would like to bring up a question. For sure, everyone here was confronted with the question of meaning. Had once a meaning problem in their life. Is there anybody who never had asked the question of meaning? So then I have to change my seminar a bit. Is it meaningful to continue reading that book? Or what meaning does it have that the day before I leave for holidays I get a high fever and cannot go into my holidays? What a pity. Meaningless. consciousness. We are sometimes confronted with questions of meaning, or we know patients or neighbors, family members who suffer from a lack of meaning. And the question is, when we search for meaning, when we have this quest for meaning, what are we searching? Why at all comes the meaning question up? Why does it arise? Is this just because we read too much Sartre? Or we like philosophy? Or we are maybe a bit crazy, as students sometimes are? Not, they do not do enough practice, and so they start thinking and produce their own problems, which normal people don't have. Is it something like this, or what is it all about when the question of meaning comes up? What is in the center? What is focused? Why do we have that quest for meaning? Of course, in the introduction there are already some little hints for answers, but let us start from the beginning with those who have lost their meaning, who suffer from a lack of meaning, with our own experiences to come to good answers. Let us start really at the very beginning. Whenever the question of meaning comes up, what does it mean? What meaning has the question of meaning? Now we are a bit more philosophical. We are on the meta level and look on the meaning. What meaning? But in easier terms, what is bothering me? Is there something bothering me when I have a quest, when the quest of meaning arises? Or is it out of pure happiness that I ask for meaning? Do you have an idea? Do you have an observation? Do you have a recollection to somebody or to a situation where you have been with anybody? Why have we been, or you been, or I been asking for meaning? Do you remember a situation where this question arose? Mm-hmm.
And then you start questioning if there is meaning in that, or if there is no meaning in
that. Mm-hmm. Somehow we can experience, as you say so well, we can experience that we ask that question and don't understand really why. And since you are psychologists, we want to know why we do that. Why are we asking? And therefore we are focusing this question now, which is not easy to answer. When we know it, it's easy enough, but until we got it, it's not so easy. Yeah, I also know this. Sometimes, often, I ask for meaning, I didn't know why I asked, and didn't know exactly what for I was looking. I called it meaning. Many people don't really know what meaning is, but somehow we have a feeling.
Sometimes, like, none of what is more broad, but sometimes I think of meaning and I think of the word the opposite, like pointless. When I realize that I'm doing something or something is going into my life that I feel that is pointless.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that, something kind of a disgust, but Sartre would say that, not say, like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah, it's pointless, which is almost equivalent to meaningless. Yeah, it's another term which brings up another picture. It doesn't lead to a point. It leads to a desert, to a white. It doesn't come to a real end, to a point where I can meet, where I can start again, a starting point, a new starting point. It's pointless. It's meaningless. I'm lost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a philosophical and anthropological answer. As far as we know, and I asked my dog at home often if he has a meaning question, because I would like to answer him the meaning question. He never asked me. So it looks like animals don't have this question. It seems to be a real typical human question. This was what Viktor Frankl pointed out. And he defended the human being asking for meaning against Freud and psychoanalysis, because Freud contended that asking for meaning comes only out of having a deeper problem, as a symptom of a deeper problem. And Frankl opposed to him. Freud wrote it in a letter to Marie Bonaparte, a friend of him, and he opposed to Freud and said, no, asking for meaning makes us human. Because we are human beings, we all need to deal with that question. Of course, sometimes the meaning question cannot be answered easily. Sometimes for some people or for some period of time, it's not a big conscious question in the sense of being a problem, because we get easy answers. But sometimes we don't find answers. And when we don't find answers, we can suffer. And of course, some psychopathology may also be the reason that we search for meaning, that we ask for meaning. In depression, every depressive personality has a meaning problem. This is a symptom of depression. But in other psychopathology, it's not a question. In anxiety, for instance, or in psychosis, also. In addiction, it's also a question. But not so much in the other psychopathologies, it's not a symptom. But it's a human quest, as you say. That's totally correct. And when you go down a bit more to your own experience and look at your own experience with yourself, with somebody else, why ever did you ever ask for meaning? Did you ever have that question? Did you ever have to deal with that question?
Well, in my experience, the question of meaning arises on two occasions. If a person is faced with a trauma, that means with something which I cannot explain, or the other hand around, as Maslow said, when all other needs are satisfied, and then the self-realization need gets actualized, then the question of meaning becomes important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If trauma or all the other lower needs.
Yeah. When something is traumatizing me or another person, we very quickly may come up with the question, why me? Why do I have to suffer this? I don't understand. What's the meaning of it? Why me? When I have when I'm traumatized, what for should that be good? I don't understand. Meaning, typical meaning questions. When we are suffering, meaning comes up. And you cited Maslow. Maslow really put it in his writings that When you have fulfilled all basic needs, then the final question of meaning comes up. Frankl was debating this with him once in the United States in a Congress in a panel discussion. They debated, and at the end, Abraham Maslow gave right to Frankl's contention that this question is not only related to a self-realization level of existence, but that it is basic and that we have the question of meaning in all stages of the Maslow pyramid.
As Frankl improved his own life.
Exactly, exactly. In the concentration camp, they were occupied with the very basic level of the pyramid of needs. There was no question about self-realization. They were hungry, anxious, frozen, hurt, bleeding, near death. But they had a question of meaning. So Maslow is not correct. His theory is nice, but in that point it doesn't fit into his theory. But Maslow never wrote about this anymore, never corrected the theory. In the panel discussion, he admitted to Franklin, to the audience, that this is correct, that the meaning question is ubiquitous, can always be there, quite independent from the development of the human being. In existential analysis, in our theory, we have it also at the fourth level, but these levels are only loosely correlated in the sense that it first needs the first dimension, then the second, then the third, and finally the fourth. They are seen as intertwined constantly. They are a unity with different aspects, but there is some tendency, which we also found empirically, that there is some tendency that we have, we firstly have to fulfill the connection with the reality, then the connection to life and the emotionality, and then the development of oneself, and then we are able to really fulfill meaning. But at the same time, we are always concerned with all four dimensions. So we have both a picture which says simultaneous presence of the four dimensions and subsequent development. So, when do we search for meaning? When the meaning question comes up? When we are suffering, this is very common. When we do not understand why we should suffer, what for it is good. From your perspective, everything is related with meaning, you say?
Probably,
yeah. Yes and no. But there are different centers of themes coming up. In an anxiety, the main center is not meaning. In anxiety, the main center is being able to be in that reality, to overcome in that reality. Not so much what for, but more the question, how can I, what do I have to do to overcome? And afterwards I will ask, what for will I live afterwards. But somehow it is already related to what for should I struggle to overcome when I don't see a meaning, then I can let me kill. So you see, somehow it's simultaneously present, and somehow there are different centers of interest according to the existential themes when we suffer from anxiety or depression or hysteria or addiction, etc. Well, we may ask for meaning in many different situations. We may ask for meaning when we do not suffer. You may have asked for meaning before you decided to come to this seminar. And ask yourself, having asked yourself, what for should I go there? What do I get if I go there? Is it good for something? This is the typical meaning question. Is that seminar good for something? Is my investment of time and money and effort good for something when I go there? These are all meaning questions. Is it good for something? Any decision needs an occupation with meaning to a certain degree. If I don't see what for it is good, how can I decide to go there? If I don't expect or hope for or have an idea what for it possibly can be good, I have no motivation to go there. Therefore, this is a fundamental motivation. The search for meaning is an existential fundamental motivation, one of the four fundamental motivations. In difference to Frankl, in modern existential analysis, we say it's only one of the four fundamental motivations. In classical logotherapy, in Frankl did not describe the preceding fundamental motivations, the other motivations which make us able to find meaning and to practice meaning and to fulfill meaning. Frankl described the idea of meaning and described what meaning is and how it can be found generally. But Frankl had no description of any way how to work on it on a personal, individual level. This was done in EA later. So, therefore, we have four fundamental motivations, and one motivation which helps me to come to a real acting is having meaning. So for all decisions, we need to have meaning. Normally, we do not suffer so much when we make a decision, shall I buy a car or better use public transportation or so. What is more meaningful? But it is a question of meaning, of course. So one reason, making decisions. One reason was suffering, not understanding why. One reason is emptiness. When I don't feel what for it is good. Do you have a question?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Then it makes more meaning to wait.
Exactly.
And if we put all these different areas, you know, in puberty, oh gee, I was suffering from meaninglessness when in puberty, at the end of puberty, at the beginning of my studies, I didn't see a meaning at all. Life and existence was totally absurd. Not good for anything. And with the death, this was the only luck in life. Everything will be over. Nothing will be there. Meaningless existence for years. The question which I was asking is it still worth continuing? At that time, I was young and healthy and had experienced some pleasure. And I said, as long as I'm young and healthy and life is pleasurable, why should I stop it? I live for my pleasure. But if this is no longer, why should I undergo suffering or pain for nothing? For now, it's okay. It's a provisional state of life, a provisional attitude. For the time being, it's okay. But when it changes, not with me. What for?
Can't we be confronted by meaning through love? Or is it only suffering?
No. Love can be a meaning.
As you said, that when we suffer, we question and then we search for meaning.
Yeah.
When we love, we can question and search for meaning and love. What does existential?
When we really love, what could then be the question of meaning?
No, because you can learn meaning. You won't necessarily question it, but you receive meaning. You know meaning.
Yeah. I experience love meaningful because my life is directed towards that person I love. And I want to be together with that person as much as I can. And I want to talk with her and love her and kiss her and all what comes along with love. And this is so good and fulfilling. I had no more question of meaning when I was fallen in love.
But you received meaning.
I received meaning, yeah.
So can I say that when you suffer, you question and search, and when you love, you receive?
When we suffer, we often question and search. Not always, not necessarily. Some people don't have the question of meaning while suffering. But often, many people. This is the area where the question of meaning mostly arises, when people suffer. In love, I had no patients who came because they found it meaningless to love. This is something interesting, isn't it? It describes a deeper structure of existence. It says that love seems to be something very important for existence, because the question of meaning doesn't arise when we really love. When we lose the beloved person, then of course we are right there, back to the question of meaning.
But is love only limited to this one person? You would say, oh, are there maybe other forms of love?
Yeah, I can at the same time love many persons. My parents, my children, my friends, my books, my study, myself. And a partner. A question is how many partners we can really love at the same time.
Yeah. What would you say?
We can love many partners at the same time, superficially. I mean personal love. But deeply, personally, we can love only one person. But we can have sex at the same time with several persons. But it becomes difficult when we really love one person. Because loving means being directed towards the uniqueness of a person, towards the essence of a person. And since I cannot divide myself into different personalities, since I am only and always one, there is only one ego, even for the schizophrenic. Even the schizophrenic experiences that the voices he hears are not himself. So there is a distinction between otherness and me, even in psychosis. We are always one. And with our own uniqueness, we are focusing the same uniqueness. I can look into the eyes, deeply look into the eyes, only to one person. I cannot look at you and at the same time to others. Mm. I can be present and giving myself only to you. But it may happen that a love ends. If it was a true personal love, I personally think such a love never ends. It will always be there, more or less active, more or less felt. It will always be there. When we meet a person whom we really loved personally, after years or decades, it's a very deep feeling, very moving feeling, which is still there. Although I may live with somebody else. So a deep love, a deep personal love persists to a certain degree forever. But I can start loving, deeply loving, personally loving another person when through some circumstances we are separated or the partner is dead. Or outer inner circumstances may produce that. And life, this is wonderful, life can go on and we can restart and find again a real deep personal love. How many times in a life? I don't know. Some people, maybe there are also differences between people. Some people may be able to do that 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Other people don't feel able to start another love after having lost the one person and prefer to remain alone for the rest of their life. Or don't find somebody which really fits to their own essence. So many questions, so many things we don't know. But it's good to have respect for the diversity and to give space to different developments. Our seminar is not going on love, although love plays a role in finding meaning.
Maybe the next one.
Maybe the next one. We make it on love. Yeah, that's a good idea. Love is always interesting, yeah? When we look for meaning, when we search for meaning, what are we looking for? What do we perceive something when the meaning question arises? Yes, there is a common denominator. This is the deepest point of all meaning questions. The common denominator of all search for meaning is I perceive that it is not good if my life continues that way. It's not good if my life continues that way. It's not clear where it leads to. It may be a pointless life. Good term. I don't see or feel and or feel a value when I continue that way. So behind or underneath all questions of meaning is the question of
feeling, yeah.
What for is it good if I don't see that it is good? If it feels like this life which I'm leading actually is not a really good life, it's not fulfilling enough, it does not lead to something fruitful, to something good, there's nothing good in the future. The context in which I am is not valuable enough. For that enterprise? For this boss? I should work? And invest my time? That's not a good context. And rationally I may say, but I earn good money. So don't give up that job. You get good money. Don't be so silly. Even my parents may tell me that, or my friends. And I personally feel it more and more meaningless, just because that context in which I am, or this industry is polluting so much the environment, or producing weapons, and I cannot stand behind. When the context is not okay, when I don't see what is the good which comes out, or when I even see that that has a bad outcome, and I feel that, I perceive that, maybe not so much consciously, maybe more unconsciously, on the emotional level, then the meaning question arises. The meaning question is an important question of orientation in our life. Continuing that way will lead into a desert, into a nothingness, into an abyss. It's not good to continue that way. It's not good to continue that relationship. We have hassles all the time. We cannot speak with each other. We try, we have been at a counseling therapist and a partner therapist, couple therapist, and still we can't speak. And whenever I see her, she sees me, we get upset. We don't feel a joy in being together. But we have the house, we have the children, we have the common history, we have many things which make it difficult. But when I have a feeling that it doesn't lead to something good, that there is no fruit, no outcome which is valuable enough, I may have arguments and reasons as many as I want. When it feels so, the meaning question is there. And be it the most intellectual personality, or be it an unreflected, poor personality, uneducated, it doesn't make any difference of social status, of educational background, the meaning question arises because it's a human question.
So then the meaning is to better separate, yeah?
Not yet. The meaning question is, look at what is the best answer. So this brings us to the next question. When the meaning question arises, we know now what it means. It means, if you continue that way, it looks like, it's not for sure, but it looks like this will lead into nothing. You will lose life. It's not worth living. It may be rational, functional, utilitarian. It may be helpful for some people, but at least for you, it's not good. Therefore, the meaning question comes. So, whenever we encounter meaning questions in our life, in the life of our patients or of our friends, take it seriously. Take into account the life direction is confused. This life is pointless. This life leads into a catastrophe. This life leads into nothing. This life is empty. This life is not worth being lived by this person. For another person in the same situation, it may fit. But for this person, with this background, with these values, with this personality, with this moral conscience, with this being oneself and authenticity, it's not good. Now, what is the duty, the task, the question combined with this meaning question? Viktor Frankl made it a center of his logotherapy. We spoke about it in our first section in the seminar. I have to make a short repetition. Frankl said, to find meaning, it needs a special attitude. And Frankl connected with a, in principle, a phenomenological access to life. To find meaning, we must take the situation as a question to us. We must understand our being as being questioned by life. Frankl brought up that existential turn of 180 degrees. With the question, what do I get for it? What do I gain? What is the profit? I cannot resolve the meaning question. For coming to an answer in the meaning question, we have to apply the opposite turn, to look at the situation the other way around and say, well, it's there. Sometimes we don't know why things are there. Sometimes we don't know why I have to suffer this fate, especially fatal incidents. Incidences are not really understandable. Why happens this to me? We don't know. But we can make a turn, a twist of 180 degrees, and this is the key to meaning, as Frankl says. The key to meaning is take the situation as a question to yourself, towards yourself. Understand yourself as the one who is giving the answer instead of questioning life. Not you should question and ask. stop your questioning, at least for a while, and let yourself being questioned by the situation, by what is going on. What does this want from me? What does life want from me? When I get the cancer, when I find the situation meaningless, when I'm not happy in my working place, for instance, when I find it meaningless to just work for a better percent of income of the enterprise, and we don't know why, we have enough. Why working no even more? It becomes meaningless. Take that as a question. Now I am asked, what does this situation and this feeling of meaninglessness, want from me? I experience a meaninglessness. What does this want from me? What is my answer to it? What does this bad relationship in which I am, for instance, this incapacity to talk, want from me? What can I do to the better of the situation? So the meaning question which arises, we understand it now. Why? Because simple continuation is meaningless, doesn't lead to a good end. The challenge of this question, of this doubt, of this suffering is, it's asking me. It's challenging me.
So it's empowering the person.
It's empowering the person. This is a basic of for the resilience which comes along with meaning. Meaning is, Antonovsky said, meaning is the most powerful element of the resilience. In the salutogenesis model, he had three elements, but the meaning is the most important. Frankl is saying the same, had the same experience. It is empowering me because the question of meaning wants something from me. It says, where are you, Alfred, in your life? You are a person. You have a freedom. You have to make decisions. Did you make the right decision? Can you make another decision in your relationship? What can you do that you can contribute something valuable to that situation, that you can make it, change it to the better? What is the best way? This is the meaning question. I am asked. I am activated. I am asked for giving an answer to that question. And giving the answer means first to understand what is the question. The bad relationship. What does this relationship, this situation ask me? What is the question? What does this bad situation want from me? Do I have something, some idea, capacity, which I could contribute and give into that situation to make it a bit better? To start a process. A process of coming closer, or a process of a good separation. Give up your expectations. Give up your hope. Give up your wishes. Look at what can you actively contribute to make it a bit better. Just a bit better. Just one step. Maybe it's the last step, but maybe it's the first step for a long journey. So simple, so humble, so practical, so small. Can I contribute something? Can I do something where I have a hope, where I see, where I can expect that it can change something to the better? I may not be successful at the end. This may be the case. I don't know. But meaning wants me to start. That's the question. To do it now. What can I contribute to the better? This is my responsibility. This is my chance. This is my task. This is my existential duty to come to a fulfilling life. To bring up resilience. Not only for me, for the situation and for the other as well. Even looking for a good separation, it can be meaningful also for the other. That the other is relieved from me and stops the pain, even when the other is suffering very much. But this may be necessary for the other. This suffering is maybe my best loving contribution to the other, that the other suffers more, even announcing that he or she will commit suicide if I leave her or him alone, and so on, and trying to force me. We help him to have a psychotherapist, but he should suffer. Because if he would be more open, then we possibly wouldn't have to separate. But since he or she cannot be more open, cannot enter a dialogue, then only suffering is helping. Suffering is something sometimes the most helpful, the most meaningful. It's a wrong idea to say suffering is always bad. No.
Suffering in the course of a separation, not in the course of staying together. Yeah.
Yeah. It can also be in staying together, that we suffer together some more and come to a good development. We cannot say it here that all relationships where there is a certain amount of suffering must be or should be separated. No.
Suffering itself is bad. I mean.
No. That's exactly a wrong concept. Suffering itself is not bad. To a certain extent, yeah. Suffering is something I do not wish to have. I do not wish you to suffer. But sometimes suffering is a process which we need to undergo to come to a certain point. And then this suffering is a good suffering.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense. Even when we climb a mountain or when we run a marathon, that's not pure joy. That's a lot of suffering in there. Why do we do that? Are we masochistic?
It's just like
yes.
It's like the Americans say, no pain, no gain. Yeah?
Exactly. So, meaning, shall I continue in that relationship? It is pointless, meaningless. But the question is, can you contribute something to make just one step to something better? Maybe something clearer, maybe less suffering, maybe better understanding, maybe implying more distance so that we can calm down maybe to go to a friend and sleep there for a couple of nights so that we can have more silence, more tranquility, and come to our own grounds. And I cannot know it for sure, because there is no empirical proof, there is no empirical evidence what is the best in such a situation, because every situation is so individual. There is empirical evidence in general for similar situations, but does it apply to my situation? It's still another question. So I have to find out it out personally. Meaning means me personally. I cannot delegate the end. I should not delegate the end. I can delegate the end, but that's not good. Meaning wants me. Meaning wants my personal answer to the question which I see in that situation, to make my life an individual personal life and not a general life. Do you understand? This is so crucial for meaning, for existential meaning. Existential meaning wants me on the stage of existence. Is provoking me, provocare, the Latin, provoque, means call out. The meaning calls out, provokes me, and wants my answer. Of course, this needs courage, this needs some knowledge, this needs some clarity in feeling. Courage, first fundamental motivation. Clarity in feeling, second fundamental motivation. Authenticity and moral conscience, third fundamental motivation. To come, fourth fundamental motivation, fourth dimension of existence, the meaning dimension where we are now, to come to a productive answer, to a clear activity. And so we can grow and mature in our lives. And this is what the quest of meaning intends. This is why it is an existential dimension. We are here, we are born, we are individuals, we are on this earth. We live our life for a few amount of years, and it's very, very quickly gone. What for? This is an immense human question. What for am I here and am I doing this all? And including suffering. What for? To make it my being here. To be present personally. Really me. To become more and more myself. To have lived my life, not the life of my parents, not a delegated life, not a life which was prescribed, a script of a life. No, my life. That's why I'm here. Meaning wants me. Meaning asks me. Meaning wants me to perceive, to realize, to perceive and decide and then make real, personally, what I find being of importance, what I find being valuable enough. So, we have now two big chapters which makes it a bit more clear what meaning is, but it is still not enough. Just to repeat, the question of meaning comes up when we have the feeling may be against and despite rationality and practicability and utility. When we have the feeling, continuation of this life is no longer good. But then the second chapter, what we spoke about, is what to do. And we said Viktor Frankl described out of his researches and philosophical thinking a key to find meaning. What is the passepartout, the general key for finding meaning? The existential turn.
The existential?
The existential turn. Turn around your question of what are you getting to what are you asked for. What is life? What does life want from you? What is your answer to that situation? What do you see as the question of this situation? And what is your personal answer? The bad relationship. The question is, what could I contribute to have one step to the better? And I may try first in this direction, then in the other direction. That's life, and that belongs to life. I do not have the complete answer, the absolute answer, the fully the proved answer. No. In testing, in trying, in we find out what is possible for me and how does the other people and the situation is changing when I am trying this or that. Meaning wants me to try what could possibly be helpful, be lead to the better. What I see as being the better. And there may be errors. We are human beings. But we have lived, even committing errors under such conditions, giving our answer. Even if it's an error, it's still okay as long as it is mine, as long as it corresponds to my conviction, to what I have seen or felt or having an idea of being the better. Okay, we now work since an hour and a half, and I think if you have some more questions here, we can deal these questions, and then I think we should make a short break of about 5 minutes to have some fresh air here. But before that, can you follow this? Can you apply it? Can you see meaning is it shows the direction of life and wants me my answer? And then in the next half of the seminar we will give closer description of what meaning is and how it can be found concretely. Okay. Then let's have a 5 minute.
Don't contribute anything to your computer. My internet's not working, so you're in control now.
I'm in control now. Okay. That's how life goes.
Better when I am.